We continue our series from Luke's Gospel. This is chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Have you ever felt like you can't pray? Or when you're not at church, your heart yearns for God, but you don't know where to start? Or perhaps you forget to pray because you're not in a rhythm of prayer in your daily life. Jesus' disciples saw Jesus praying on many occasions, and they saw how much of a difference it made to him. They recognized the peace that came to him through praying. So they asked him to teach them. And Jesus gives them not only a prayer, but a pattern for prayer. And he gives this to us too. Well, perhaps you're thinking, we're a free church. We don't want patterns. We want to be spontaneous and free. And I agree that saying the same thing every week isn't actually going to help me personally. But there is a danger, the flip side of that we miss out on some beautiful poetry and liturgy. And we are actually free to say them. It's radical, isn't it? And are you still memorizing scripture? Did you give up that? Patterns of prayer, memorizing phrases, can help us go deeper into faith. And perhaps you're thinking, well, I want to be able to spontaneously worship God. That's what should happen when I pray. And I've had wonderful experiences of God when I've been able to spontaneously worship God. My heart's been full of wonder. I'm sure you're the same if you've particularly, maybe, I don't know where that happens for you. It might happen outside of the mountains, it might happen for you at a conference. Everybody's different, but that's great. But there's a danger that when we're not feeling like that, we don't have the skills and the tools to lament. We don't know how to cry out to God. We don't know how to bring ourselves back into his presence when we're feeling burnt out or numb. And patterns of prayer can help. We can train ourselves. We can grow significantly through times of difficulty and adversity. And actually, we know that those times are sometimes the strongest points of growth in our lives, the way that we cope with those times. Romans 5, verse 3. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, it continues, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And if we want to be disciples, if we want to be those who love, trust, and follow Jesus, even when the going's tough, we're going to need some tools. So don't dismiss the Lord's Prayer. I like jazz music. Does anyone like jazz music? I like jazz music. Yay. And in jazz music, the musicians will sometimes improvise around the melody. So you can still recognize the song that they're playing, although it's a little bit, you know, messed up in a good way. But sometimes they'll play something completely different that's in character with the song, but it still follows the original chord structure. It still follows the notes of those scales and patterns. And prayer can be a bit like that too. Sometimes it's good to get a basis and a pattern for our prayer and then to work around the edges. Jazz prayers, there you go, take away from this morning. But it's also good to start, isn't it, by learning the Lord's Prayer. So can we have our PowerPoint up, please, Andrew? This is the Lord's Prayer. Modernized slightly and changed slightly from the version that we've got here in Scripture. I'm sure it will come up. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation. Yeah, please join in if you know it. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we can see that this prayer follows a pattern. If we can have our next slide. A-C-T-S. Easy to remember. It's what the disciples did. Acts, after Jesus left. It's the book of Acts. Adoration. Confession. Thanksgiving. If we just whip through, Andrew, thank you. And supplication. And that this prayer follows that pattern. So we're going to look at that in detail and then use that pattern in our prayer. The next slide, please, again. We're whipping through quickly this morning. Our Father, Jesus revolutionized the approach to God in his day using the word Abba for Father. And that's a word that has more deference, more respect than just Daddy, and a bit more gritty realism to it, maybe, than Dad. It's a bit like Papa, possibly, but doesn't really work for me either. But Abba, I'm beginning to enter into what that might feel like. This is Romans 8:14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, you may not have a positive image of the word Father. It might be a difficult word for you. But it's here in our scriptures, so it's worth pressing into this. This is your heavenly Father. He's pure and kind. His desires for you are completely good. He laid down his life for you in the person of his Son. This is the Father who dives in to push the child out the way when there's danger and gets killed in the process. That's this Father. This is your heavenly Father, your pure Father. Not a Father like me, not a failed Father, or a Father who tries their best, but is human. This is a perfect heavenly Father. And he designed us and made us to be in relationship with him. He doesn't just love us, he likes us. Revelation from Adrian Plass, I think, for those of you who remember him. He delights in us and loves to see us have fun, to achieve and be fulfilled. And then at the end of Luke, as we read earlier, which of you fathers asks, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead, or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's the father of the prodigal son, waiting for us. He's always there. He's not too busy, because he's busy with another prayer at the moment. You'll never get an engaged tone. You'll never have to send an email instead. God is there, waiting for us. Our Father. And then more quickly, we're going to race through the others, because we've got communion as well today, which is fantastic, and we want to spend time with that. Hallowed be your name. We need to step back and praise and worship God. We recognize who he is. And at that point, I'm prompted to ask God's mercy for me, a sinner, when I remember his greatness. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We remember that we don't come to God to ask him to implement our agenda. We come to God to find out what his plans are, to understand them, work with those already doing them. Warren Wiersbe said this: the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. I like that. It's good, isn't it? Prayer is not about telling God what we want and then selfishly enjoying it. Wiersbe continues, prayer is asking God to use us to accomplish what he wants, so that his name is glorified, his kingdom is extended and strengthened, and his will is done. And Donald pointed to this. This is where we will find a way to pray in accordance with God's will. This is his word to us. As we know his word more and more, we will pray in accordance with his will, as we know him more, as we journey with him, as we live out our Christian lives. Give us this day our daily bread, asking God for the things that we need. My children often ask me for things I wanted. I remember asking my parents for things that I wanted but didn't need, and sometimes they would say yes, and sometimes they would say no. And sometimes that no was because it was better for me. Sometimes I was asking for a scorpion. You know, I think I've asked God for the odd scorpion as well in my life. Fortunately, he says no. And then, but in Luke 11, verse 5, Jesus reminds us that God is not like some grumpy neighbor refusing to get out of bed. He encourages us to ask, to seek, to knock, to find out what we need. And in Luke 11, we know that it's not that God doesn't love us, that maybe he won't immediately answer our prayer and give us the thing that we've answered for. We have to trust him. And sometimes just the events of life mean that things won't happen as we expect. But that doesn't define God's love for us. It's how we relate to God in those times that makes the difference. I remember sitting at church once and thinking, well, God's job really is to work out the thing that I really don't want to do and then to make me do it. Some embarrassed sniggering going on. Perhaps I'm not the only one who's thought that. But that isn't God at all, is it? God knows us. He made us. And his desires for us are good. And we give thanks to God as well for all that he's given us. And he calls us to be generous to others too. And then just some verses about relating to others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. These are the characteristics for which our community should be known. And lead us not into temptation. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm perfectly capable of leading myself into temptation. But we need to make strategies to avoid temptation, don't we? If we're going to win that fight against evil in the flesh in our lives. More of that another day, perhaps. But if you do find yourselves tempted to go on social media to the extent that it is affecting your mental health, you need a strategy to turn it off. You need a pattern of life. If you go on the internet late at night and look at things you shouldn't look at, you need a pattern of life that says, I will turn my phone off at a certain time. God can help us, and God will give us ways to be the answers to our own prayers so often. And then we pray, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Back to the original theme, God is greater than evil. And he can deliver us. Hebrews 2, verse 14. He shared in their humanity, that is Jesus, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We pray, deliver us from evil, because thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.